It's December the 22nd, just a couple of days now before Christmas. It's sort of sad that we haven't been able to meet in the Lord's house in these last couple of weeks, but I praise the Lord we still have this opportunity to get together, though it's not exactly the same. It's the next best thing, perhaps, and I'm glad you're here to join us tonight and worship the Lord together. And tonight I'd like to ask you to turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story. We'll be looking at verses 8 to 15. Before we begin, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for the Lord Jesus who came. And Father, the story that tells about the beginning of his life here on earth, I pray that you would bless it, Lord, as we rehearse it and review it again tonight. I pray that it would be worshipful to everyone who hears. Lord, bring glory and honor to yourself as you apply truths, biblical truths, even those which we'll learn tonight, as you apply them to our lives by the power of your Spirit within. Father, thank you for all that you've done. Be with those, Lord, who are not able to listen tonight. I pray that you would bless them where they are, Lord. Those who are sick, raise them up. Those who are away, I pray that you'd bring them back home safely. And Father, thank you for all that you've done. And bless us now as we look at your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 15. The title of my message is The Eternal Relevance of Christmas. The Eternal Relevance of Christmas. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. We've all read headlines or heard speeches from yesteryear that sound sort of like they happened or are happening perhaps today. Generally, they're the bad news from a particular day or a season in history. Pastors and public speakers like to use these little snippets from history to illustrate things like the good old days were not so good after all, or the evil of the day in which we live, or the evils of the day in which we live, are not unique in the process of time. Things, they're kind of like they were before. There's nothing new under the sun, Solomon said. Well, at any rate, the historical commentary was written or spoken about days gone by. And though they might contain a lot of parallels or lessons to learn about the present day, they were not written or spoken with today in mind. But there are exceptions to the rule if we look into the scriptures. There were things written in the Bible in the past, the distant past, that pertain to us literally right now, today. For instance, the story of Christmas is eternally relevant. Unlike the old news headlines that we've been talking about, the angelic announcement made 2,000 years ago is pertinent to our lives right now in 2021. The prophecies of Simeon and Anna that speak of mankind and what God was doing for mankind 2,000 years ago, well, they're as applicable to us in these days as they were to those who lived in the first century. Today, our rehearsal, our review of the birth of Christ is timely. It's timely. The significance of this story is apropos, we could say. So what do all these words mean? Well, relevant. Relevant means having a bearing on or a connection with the matter at hand. Pertinent means having logical, precise relevance to the matter at hand. Applicable means something that can be applied to the present need or the present circumstances. Timely means in time, occurring at a suitable or opportune time, well-timed, we could say. The word apropos, we don't use that much anymore. It means very appropriate. So the story of Christmas is not old in any age. Let me see if I can show you from the scriptures when I speak about the eternal relevance of Christmas. We're going to Luke chapter 2, and I'd ask you to look at verse 8 with me. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field. In the same country. We're not talking about a nation. We're talking about a region or a tract of land. Namely, in this context, in the vicinity of this little town called Bethlehem. You remember what was happening then. There was a registration for the taxation that was being imposed on the Jews by the Romans. There was a young carpenter there in town, and his new bride, though she was still a virgin, they were among the number of those who had come to Bethlehem for the registration. While they were there, this young lady gave birth to her first son. How could a virgin give birth, someone might ask? Well, Matthew actually answers that in the story. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 20, he's talking to Joseph, or about Joseph, and he says in verse 20, "But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." Now, some people might say, yeah, sure. Sounds like Joseph did a little more than dream here. Or this young lady was not such a good little girl. They're skeptics of the virgin birth, the clearly taught virgin birth of the scripture. Do you know, but their skepticism might be more warranted, except for the fact that this young mother being a virgin is not the only thing unusual about the birth of Jesus Christ. There were many things about this event that had been prophesied as many as 4,000 years before the birth of Christ. The fact that he would be born of a virgin is prophesied in Genesis 3 and verse 15 and Isaiah 7, 14. The fact that he would be a descendant of David was known in Psalm 89, verses 3 and 4. The fact that the birth would occur at Bethlehem, Micah 5, 2. The prophet told exactly when it would take place, Daniel chapter 9. Where the family would travel after the birth of Jesus, Hosea chapter 11. The fact that innocent children would be slain by Herod in Bethlehem after the birth of Christ, Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 15. And the list goes on. There are a lot of things prophesied, unusual things that would take place at the time of the birth of Jesus Christ. And then there's the life that this baby grew up to live. You know, he was sinless. He had knowledge of the scriptures, having never studied them. You know why? Well, because they were his words. He's the one who gave them to those who would write them, who would pen them. He performed miracles in the presence of innumerable witnesses. He trained devout followers that would receive the Holy Spirit of God, the Comforter, and they would begin immediately to build his church. And we should also consider the fact of his death, how he died. Now, we're going to talk about that more in a few minutes. But given these evidences of his uniqueness, the skeptics of the virgin birth should be silent. They should really take notice of this spectacular event and this spectacular babe. Now, who do you think the Lord would tell first? Who would he invite to see the Son of God in the beginning? Well, he chose to tell, verse 8, the shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Shepherds were, and they still are, a common sight in and around Bethlehem. Bethlehem's about 6 miles south of Jerusalem, down in a place that's sort of desert land, parts of it are. David himself had lived in the city probably 1,000 years, a little over 1,000 years before Jesus was born. That's why it's called the City of David. And remember, he too was a shepherd. Maybe God told the shepherds first in the beginning because his son would be a shepherd. He's called the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He's called the Great Shepherd, the great shepherd of his people, who he refers to as sheep, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Here's how this angelic announcement actually happened there before the shepherds. Verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I like to think about those words, fear not. And I try to imagine what it would be like to be there in the little, the outskirts of the little village of Bethlehem. And in the quietness of the night, all of a sudden to be overcome by a great light. And then turning toward that light, you see an angel hovering nearby, recognizing it as an angel, something that's never happened in your life before. The question on their minds was probably, what does this angel have on his mind? What will he say? What will he do? Sort of like the proverbial trip to the doctor, and the doctor comes into the office, his forehead's a little wrinkled, and he looks and you listen. He says, I'm sorry, Pastor, but I have some bad news for you. Or maybe, well, Pastor, I have some good news and some bad news. Which would you like first? Well, I would probably say the bad news. Why? Because when it comes to news about me, I want to know what's wrong with me. I want to know right now. We like the effects of good news on the bad rather than the bad news effects on the good. Maybe you're like me. When it pertains to us in a doctor's office, we listen longingly for the words that the shepherds heard that night, fear not, I bring you good tidings. Imagine the relief, the release, the feeling of calmness that permeated that scene that night when the angel said, fear not, I bring you good tidings. The angel adds, which shall be to all people. All people. All people includes me. All people includes you. So let's consider the words of the angel as if they were being spoken directly to us tonight. We would say they are personal. All people includes me. The angel's message was for me. I would say that the message was present. All people must include every generation in its own time, even this generation in this day. So personal, present, and precious. I use those words to sort of alliterate this outline. Personal, present, and precious. This message was to the shepherds, and because it was spoken to all people, it's precious to me as well. Verse 11 says, For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord, unto you. So again we see, this is a personal message. Though spoken to the shepherds, it's recorded here in the Bible. You're looking at it and I'm looking at it and reading it. It's recorded here for all people, individually. The shepherds said, I bring you good tidings, or the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, which shall be to all people. The army has a famous poster with a picture of Uncle Sam, and he's pointing his finger at you. You've seen it before. And to anybody who passes by, the message was to be received by each individual as directly to them. It reads, Uncle Sam wants you. The fact that some other people had walked by just before you that had seen the message and respond, they had to respond to it, but that doesn't detract from its appeal to the next passerby, to you as you pass by. Very similarly, this message is as much for you as it was for the shepherds of yesteryear. Seriously. Because this message is personal, and you're hearing it right now, you cannot escape. You cannot avoid it. nor can you avoid a response. And I would remind you that doing nothing is a response. The message is personal. It demands your attention. He said, the angel said, unto you is born this day. So again, this is a present message. Though spoken the first time 2,000 years ago, it's spoken again tonight. You may say, well, that's true. We're reading it tonight, but Jesus is not being born again tonight. And you're right. He's not being born again tonight, but consider this. The shepherds were not being offered an opportunity to witness the very birth of this child, only to see the child that had been born that very night. The real emphasis, though, or the real importance is not in the fact that the baby was born this day, but the real importance here is in the fact that the baby was born unto you. The baby was born unto you, the angel said that day. They were invited that day to meet the one who was born unto you. The same words make that same offer to you tonight, this very day. You can meet that same person that the shepherds met that night. His name is Jesus, the same Jesus that was found by the shepherds in Bethlehem. He is born unto you. Come and see. The message is for the present. It requires your response. A Savior, which is Christ the Lord, the angel called this babe. This is a precious message. It's not precious in the way that we use the word today. Oh, it's a puppy. Isn't that puppy just precious? Somebody might say, but that's not the meaning here. This message is precious in the sense of being priceless, like a precious stone, a priceless diamond or ruby. He is the solution to the greatest problem that you'll ever face, and that problem is your sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, Hebrews 9:22 says. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Who is this Jesus? According to this very verse, he's the Savior. He's the deliverer. He can deliver you from the penalty of your sin. He can do that right now, tonight, from the penalty of your sin. He can deliver you from the power of sin on a day-to-day basis if you'll be obedient to his word and keep his commandments and walk in the light and listen to the Holy Spirit who he provides to all who believe. He's the deliverer, the Savior. He's the Christ. He's God's anointed. He's God with us. He's the promised Messiah. This verse says he's Lord. The owner, the person in charge, the one worthy of your respect and mine, the one worthy of our honor. Verse 12 says, and this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. You see, the shepherds answered the invitation. My question tonight is, will you? No, he's no longer in a manger in Bethlehem. He grew up. He lived a perfect, sinless life. He died on a Roman cross for you. He rose from the dead, and he's now at the right hand of God the Father, making intercession for those of us who have made him our personal Savior. But if you've never met him, he's still waiting for your response to this angelic announcement. You see, the message delivered by the angels is eternally relevant. It's for you right now. The angelic announcement is personal, present, and precious. Jesus was born unto you. What's your response? If you've never been saved, I would invite you to come to the Lord Jesus for life and light. If you're a Christian, come worship with me. Come, let us adore him, this Savior, this babe that grew up and died on the cross and is now at the right hand of God the Father, and someday he's coming again for me and for you if you know him. The eternal relevance of Christmas. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this devotional thought tonight. I pray that you would bless it to our hearts. Lord, unto me a child was born, and he's still alive, and he's still relevant, and still so necessary in the life of all of us human beings. And Lord, I pray that we would all be believers, that we would all come to the Lord Jesus Christ and receive him as our personal Savior. And Father, for those of us who know him personally, help us, Lord, even in this Christmas season to worship and give him all of our hearts, all of our attention, all of our zeal. Father, we thank you for that great gift on that first Christmas, that child born unto me. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. I'm so glad to be able to share the Christmas message. I wish we could be together and hear it and read it together, but that's not possible right now. And Christmas will be between now and the next time we're together in the Lord's house. I pray it'll be a wonderful Christmas for you, that you will enjoy the fellowship of the Lord Jesus in your time of worship. And I pray that if there are those who don't know him in your family, among your loved ones, that they too would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. God bless you all, and Merry Christmas.